one of my oldest memories is, that's why we I don't hunt much anymore. This is when I was young. Turtles like to go into a mush rat hole and wait for food. And you got to reach up that hole and feel for the turtle. Well, sometimes you get a hold of Mr. Mushrat and he bites like a, he is mean. And they've got teeth, they'll you can lose a finger, you know. And I got bit several times. And to this day and age, I don't hunt much, you know, hand hunt anymore, you know.
That's Dale Hintrip at Du Bois County, Indiana, relating what he used to hunt the principal protein of his homemade Hoosier specialty, turtle soup. Turtle soup is our dish du jour on this episode of Second Servings. I'm John Kay, Director of Traditional Arts Indiana, and I'm proud to present Second Servings, an original podcast series that explores the food traditions that give flavor to Indiana culture. Betsy Shepherd brings us this story.
The small towns that dot the rural landscape of southern Indiana are well known for turtle soup, a culinary oddity that seems more fitting in the coastal swamplands of Louisiana than the uplands of southern Indiana. So how did turtle soup wind up in the Ohio River Valley? The TAI crew, James, John, and myself, planned a pub crawl of the taverns and cafes in our state's southern climes to find out about turtle soup's regional foothold. Dale doesn't know where turtle soup first got its start, but theorizes that it was originally made for practical reasons. People would fry the turtle to eat and then make soup from the discarded parts.
Years ago, everybody was poor and you didn't throw anything away. You fried the turtle, you know, like the legs and the neck and stuff, but you cooked the backs, and that's what you made the soup out of.
Dolly Stern, who makes turtle soup for her church's fall festival, says turtle soup has been around for as long as she can remember.
Our church, St. Louis Catholic Church in Batesville, Indiana, each year we have a fall festival. And just ever since I've been alive, they've made turtle soup as part of their fall festival. And the soup itself is really just kind of a spicy vegetable soup. Basically, it's just a tradition in our church.
She offers up her theory for how the soup first came to be a local tradition.
We think that the tradition really probably started with our festival being in the fall because the harvest was, you know, through, so they could use vegetables from the garden right away to make it a tasty dish in an economical way. So actually we think that may be how it kind of got started.
Though its exact origin remains unknown, the soup, like so many traditional dishes, first started out as an experimental mixing of local goods. Dale describes the dish by listing all of the ingredients that go into it.
Turtle soup, you use like turtle meat in it, but you also use beef bones or beef roast and an old baking hen, and you cook, you know, the meat, and you debone it all, and you save the broth, then you just add your vegetables and all the stuff like that to it. You take pickling spice, you put it in a cheesecloth and cook it in there with it, but you don't want it to break and get into the soup. You're just using it for the flavor. Some people use a little red pepper in it to make it a little spicier, but some people don't, and it's like any recipe, and everybody changes it a little bit to their liking, you know.
Yes, everybody has their own version. Here is Julie Moore, cook and waitress at Flags Cafe in Ferdinand, Indiana, for over 40 years, listing the ingredients she uses.
It's really a vegetable soup, and you use beef and chicken and all the vegetables, like your corn and green beans and your peas and your carrots and your celery and onions and cabbage. And, of course, you have to use some pickling spice. You season with salt and pepper and your chili powder.
With descriptions like that, we decided to defer to our taste buds on the matter. But when we sidled up to the cafe counters and bar tops, asking for a bowl teeming with turtle, we were greeted with this disclaimer.
It's actually a mock turtle soup, and we use beef instead of turtle in the soup.
They call it mock turtle soup.
considered mock turtle soup, but the flavor still stays the same.
We used to use turtle all the time, but now you cannot use turtle unless you buy government-inspected turtle. So we usually just make ours with beef and chicken.
Turtle soup's simple name belies the many ingredients used to make it. And turtle meat, the one thing you'd expect to find in the soup, is missing from the list. Government bans on wild game make turtle meat unaffordable for most mom-and-pop operations. Therefore, turtle soup from restaurant vendors is turtle soup in name only. Mock turtle soup, however, has its own storied past. Its origins extend back to mid-18th century England, where it was popularized as a cheap alternative to the delicacy green turtle soup, and was made legendary by Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. In spite of its name, Indiana mock turtle soup isn't seen as inferior to its amphibious archetype. Richard Helming and Rob Kitten, the former owner and current owner of Flag's Cafe, maintain the difference in taste is negligible.
It's not got no turtle in it, but I said it's pretty good, and they try it, and they like it. I said it is pretty good.
Yeah, the turtle really, they really don't put any different flavor to the taste of it at all. The turtle don't.
Just the meat.
Yeah. It's just the meat that you add.
Even Dale, who cooks turtle soup from turtles he catches himself, which is permitted so long as he doesn't sell the meat, says that turtles don't make that much difference in the way of taste. Can you tell a difference in the flavor over the last several years?
All jokes aside, no, you really can't. Cooked turtle, it's got a bland taste, or it's not really a taste to it.
Now convinced that we'd still be getting our money's worth without the turtle meat, we put in our first order of soup at Heichelbeck's in Jasper, Indiana.
Here we go.
At the same time?
At the same time.
One.
What's it look like?
Okay, so it looks like a vegetable soup, right? Does it have cheese in it?
No, it's spaghetti.
Oh, spaghetti. Okay.
It's got kind of like cheese and Indiana chili and vegetable soup mixed together.
And then maybe a little, it kind of looks a little like stew.
Sweet and spicy.
Mm-hmm.
After relocating to the Ferdy Flyer, a local cafe named after the town's old train station, we were surprised by the variety in taste.
Looks like chicken and beef.
I think it's chicken and beef. Yeah. Why ask Darlene? And it's got like a fettuccine noodles in it, peas and green beans.
It's really interesting seeing the local varieties of it. Because this, I mean, not only does it taste a lot different, but it looks like a totally different soup. From what I can tell, the main consistency in turtle soup is the pickling spice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the turtle.
According to most, the meat is simply a conduit for the real flavor, which comes from pickling spices.
There's really not a whole lot to it. I mean, you got it. And spice bags. You got to take pickling spices and put them in a bag and tie it shut and put one in each container. You got four.
Here again is Richard from Flags talking about his preferred technique for spicing things up.
And what I do is I'll take the paddle and squeeze it against the side of the pot so that the juices in the spice bag get in the soup, yeah. Because that's what makes
it.
Yeah, squeeze them out.
Richard mentioned stirring the soup with a paddle. The paddle is used to stir the soup in a 15-gallon cast iron pot. Because of the soup's popularity and the elaborate process of making it, cooks traditionally make the soup in huge portions.
And the other thing, you can't make a small batch of soup. My husband's tried and tried, so we figure we're just better off, you know, making these huge batches and sharing it with everybody and eating it that way.
Turtle soup provides the people of Southern Indiana with a shared sense of community. Here is Dolly again, talking about the friendships formed at the church fundraisers.
We usually try to match up people with, you have an older person and a younger person together, and then they develop a little camaraderie and stuff, and it's just a very binding situation too, you know, that they make some relationships there. And sometimes they only see each other, get together when they are making soup, but they look forward to seeing each other.
Dale tells about how his relationship with Larry Bird, warmed over a hot bowl of turtle, and also how the two split hairs over its sodium content.
Do you know Larry Bird by any chance?
The basketball player?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's a real good friend of mine. He's about like all of us old guys, getting high blood pressure, and the doctor advises, you know, to stay away from the salt, you know. So I made some turtle soup and took it up to his house. He lived in French Lick, Indiana, which this has been about, oh, God, 10, 12 years ago. And I took him some turtle soup, and he'd come down to my lake property. He comes down here and drinks beer with me sometimes, and I asked him how he liked the soup. He said, boy, it was good, but man, it was a little salty.
After making our rounds, chatting up the good folks at headquarters in Heichelbeck's in Jasper and the Fruity Flyer and Flags Cafe in Ferdinand, it was time to say our farewells.
We're going to head back to Oak Town.
Oh, good.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Nice meeting you guys.
Okay, take
same here, okay?
Thanks a lot. I
yeah,
appreciate
nice
it.
Meeting you. You can say you were at Flags and you got the straight scoop now.
We got it right? From the sword.
That's for sure.
While we were walking to the car, a generous local chased us down and offered us a tub of homemade soup with real turtle in it. He explained that though the soup can't be commercially bought or sold, it is still made at home and shared among friends.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Second Servings. We'd like to thank musical contributors Jake Brown and Blue Line, Olivia Smiley and Jeff Guernsey, Reverend Peyton and his big damn band, and all who helped in the making of this episode. Production was made possible by funding from the Indiana Humanities and is brought to you by Traditional Arts Indiana, which is dedicated to identifying and documenting Indiana's traditional practices in partnership with Indiana University and the Indiana Arts Commission. We'll see you next time, and until then, pass the plate and pass on a tradition.
You think it goes good after turtle soup?
I'm sure it goes well with turtle soup. Everything goes well with turtle soup.